Michigan area.
I'm next, so call me Todd. Wow, this is definitely beyond my wildest dreams. Take a moment of silence. Anybody read that just for today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that thing. Acting as if. You know, I was introduced to this program August 16th, 2004. It's the day that I started living. I had a lot of existing before then. You know, I was raised in a dope house. I was a willing participant of my disease. First, I was a victim. I'll put it that way. You know, because I had a problem, I didn't know what the hell it was. You know, my insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, knowing the results and doing it anyway. I did that. At 17, I got enough trouble that I got one of those offers of a 4-4 program. Back when they offered that kind of program, I took the vacation with the pay, you know, instead of confinement and hard labor. Didn't really do too much good because at 21, I woke up one morning seeing a federal pen. Okay, doing 27 years. So yeah, this is beyond my wildest dreams. My first meeting was in 85 in Okinawa, Japan, in our parent fellowship. And they introduced me to this concept of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I took a look at it. I said, well, I usually bend my elbow. I usually get a change of attitude. I usually fall down. I usually end up in some place I don't want to be. And I do it over and over again. Okay, I accept that this is what's going to happen. I did it anyway. That is truly insane. So I became a willing participant in this disease. You know, I knew I had a problem. I did it anyway. That continued on to a point where I finally found myself sitting in front of a judge. And he said, you know, all the promises are gone. I'm guaranteeing you that if I ever see you again, you're doing life without parole. It was pretty shocking to me. You know, I'm a non-violent offender. I got a little track record. My arrest record looks like a dictionary. I collected 10 DUIs and 3 felony drug convictions by that time. And, you know, as an addict, we're very charismatic. We know how to act right when we have to act right. You know, just long enough to get off of paper. And we're released to our own free will. We do what we do. That higher power gave me an opportunity of doing 45 days on the rock, and then 45 days in a detox rehab program where I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous. I came out, and I met this guy. He said, you need to make some commitments. There's no promises, no fees. But there are some commitments that you need to make. Make a commitment to your recovery. Make a commitment to a program. Make a commitment to a home group. Make a commitment to a sponsor. and live this program to the best of your ability. I'm not very good at following a lot of directions. Probably the only one I've followed since I got here is I didn't bend my elbow. Abstinence definitely isn't recovery, but it is required to get it. Recovery is an act of change in our attitudes and ideas. And if you live this program to the best of your ability, eventually it will work you. Some say that it's, well, you're doing service-based recovery. Well, if that's what you need to do, do it. Stick around for a while. Act as if. Eventually, the thinking evolves. Sponsorship. Depending on your locality, where you're at, your pickings might be slim. I got a lot of my early recovery in Narcotics Anonymous on speaker tapes. Listen to people like Dutch and Jimmy, Chuck H, Greg P. I played those over and over. Some old guy come by and said, here, start listening to these. Because if you stick with what you got here, you might not stick. I started going to conventions. I usually do about 4 a year. This is an exceptionally good year for me. I'm making like 6, 7 this year. For somebody that was busted down and broken, couldn't be trusted, I'm doing pretty good. I have a driver's license today. Something the state of Michigan said I would absolutely never have, especially not in that state. I have one from that state. I'm a successful businessman. I own my own business. When you're unemployed and you're unemployable, what do? You fall back on what you do best. I was good with people. I'm good with cars. I'm good at commitment. I'm good at figuring shit out. So that allows me a little bit of flexibility in my life today. When Narcotics Anonymous reaches out and asks for help, I don't have a privilege of saying no. It's my responsibility to step up and give back what was so freely given to me. Service. Somebody made me a GSRA when I had 6 months clean. I progressed up to a GSR. Then somebody said, hey, let's keep them around here. We'll make them co-chair of the area. At 18 months clean. And the last two co-chairs I'd seen both had like 18 months clean. They both relapsed. So I was like, oh, shit. These people are out to get rid of me. But I stayed. The first area meeting I was co-chair at, the chair didn't show up. And Narcotics Anonymous didn't leave me. They loved me. And I became chair, and I became co-treasurer, then a treasurer, and then later chair, then RDA, then the RD. Now I'm co-facilitator there of the region. That's a nice little 2-year commitment they slipped me into. when you're co-facilitator of the region, that means you're also planning on being a facilitator. That's another 2 years. So I know what I'm doing for the next 4 years, God willing, you know. I love this program. It's definitely taken me to places I never thought I'd go. I was sitting at a convention at Fort Wayne, Indiana, selling merchandise for a little camp out retreat that we do. And there was this guy selling merchandise from the Bronx there. I was like, man, if you really want to go to a convention, a real convention, you got to go to Ocean City. I said, that is the mecca of conventions. He says, that one's better than World. And somebody called me up and said, hey, will you do something? And here I am. Beyond my wildest dreams, you know. I'm not generally a speaker. I do my work at the tables. You know, I've done a lot of dope. I've been really high. But the greatest high I ever got was sitting at a table sharing with some shaking addict when a light comes on their eye and they get it. They realize that they don't have to use just for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, you take the actions indicated in the steps and you lead the results up to a higher power. It's awesome. It's absolutely totally awesome. I still don't do everything right. You know, I'm very grateful that there's no model to the recovering addict. You know, we're not cookie cutters. We all have our individuality. The thing that worries me the most is when I see addicts that won't speak up, that won't speak their opinion. Because every addict has one. You can't be an addict, I don't think, without an opinion. It's the core of our disease, our fear. And it holds us back from helping that person sitting next to you, whether they be the newcomer, the old timer, or the sometimer. You know, reach out your hand and say, let's go get a cup of coffee. You know, here's my number. If you need to talk, call me. Call a hope man instead of a dope man. Guarantee you the dope man won't go bankrupt. They won't all go away. If you're not comfortable or happy here, your misery can be gladly refunded. Meetings keep me in touch with where I've been and where I can go. I can count my relapses by my convictions. Because I never got here brimming with love, honesty, open-mindedness, or any willingness. I didn't get here because I wanted to stop using dope. I love getting high. I'd be lying if I said I didn't love getting high. My drug of choice is bore. I always preferred yours. What keeps me here is fear of the consequences. And it's not the material consequences. You know, it's not losing a job, not losing a relationship, not going back to jail. It's waking up in the morning and having to look in the mirror and knowing what I will see. The gratitude. The gratitude I've been given in Narcotics Anonymous. And that final question, the step working guy, how am I going to repay my gratitude? Always being of service. The self, the society, the service, and the God. The balance of the program. There's always one part of that that's been left out for me or been minimized, and that's self. I always give myself away. The last 2 years I've had a service commitment every weekend. And on top of that, I do somewhere between 7 and 8 meetings a week because I was given a gift of a driver's license. And what we tell a newcomer, 90 and 90, when you give them a phone number, you better be willing to back it up, not hang up. The meetings to the meetings back from the meetings, those are where I find a lot of recovery. Learning how to deal with feelings. Because a lot of them addicts rode in my car dead to them. I'm in a home group that happens to have this problem where addicts die. They don't leave and go back out. They die. And the message to Narcotics Anonymous is no addict needs to die without hearing this message. So the home group stays open and we continue to carry a message. Some days it's a personality that's carrying a message. Some days it's a group that's carrying a message. I definitely believe the most powerful vehicle for carrying the message is the group. I am so much, and you are so much, but together we are definitely so much more. The diversity of the program is our strength. I'm looking forward to a lot of things. Orlando in 2018. That's my next goal. Giving a little bit more time to myself. Developing new relationships. Expanding on present relationships. I'm not a big speaker. I don't think I'll ever will be. I believe I'll always be best. Staying humble, staying out of ego-inflating situations, staying in the rooms, giving people rides, answering the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning when you don't want to. Yeah, sometimes it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's this addict that was around when I came in. And he gave me that little spark of hope of identification. He had come from the same place that I come from. His disease had been treated as a crime. He had 10 DUIs and a felony drug conviction. I said, wow, if that dude can do it, I think at the time he had 18 months, I can do it. You know? That addict's back out using. Has been. That likes calling me. Reminded me at 3 o'clock in the morning. The disease is still out there, still kicking ass. It still makes us into the living dead. It'll take away everything. You know, this is such a sick disease because it does kill the living and preserve the dead. It takes a life right out of us. Narcotics Anonymous can put the life back in us. But you gotta live it. If you're wondering, is this the right place? Maybe it's time to go back and do a 90 and 90. And do it again. I know my higher power doesn't give me any more than I can handle. With his help. On my own, I'll be overwhelmed in a heartbeat. Left my own devices, I know they'll self-destruct. I'll self-sabotage. I'll back myself into a corner I can't get out of. I don't even have to pick up any dope to do it. I've done a pretty good job of screwing myself up in recovery. I probably screwed myself up more in recovery than I did out of recovery. I've blown myself up. I've torn myself up. I cut myself up. There was one point in time that I was sitting in meetings. I couldn't talk. I was gasping for air. I wear a seatbelt today after that. I look around blind corners for people sitting in the middle of a field someplace poaching deer. Because you never know when a wake-up call just might happen. I'm grateful for the traditions. They handed me that traditions reading and said, start reading. After the doctor said, I'd never talk again. Narcotics Anonymous can definitely do wonders. I learned how to read. I learned how to write. Because all those skills were gone. I learned commitment. I learned to show up even when I didn't want to show up. I can't tell you about the rewards because they've been so great. On the basic text, we wrote down that if we wrote down our list of expectations when we got here, we'd be cutting ourselves short. Definitely be cutting myself short because I never, ever thought that anybody would have faith in me to help me go to places I've gone. And recover. That crime that I did back in 84, that got me to 4 or 4, that person left me enough money I can do what I need to do today. I can actually do what I want to do today. That's dangerous for an addict. It's only because of Narcotics Anonymous. Because would that have happened if I was the same person that I was back then? If I would not have shaken some of the symptoms of the disease and become the person I was meant to be. Honest, caring, forgiving, tolerant, patient. I never thought I'd do this. Never thought I'd become this. I was an addict that, I thought I had a moral deficiency. I thought I was incapable of being honest with myself. And my first sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous said, I don't care how much you lie to me. Just be honest when you look in the mirror. Be honest with yourself. Work yourself to the best of your current ability, and that's going to get different. Remember, everything evolves. Everything that we know about the truth is subject to revision. I was one of them steadfast people to say, you know, men stick with men, women stick with women. And then somebody suggests I pick up the basic text and read them stories again. Because there was a part in there I apparently missed. So I had to give up some of them things. Where am I at?
7 minutes.
Is that 7 minutes? My word count's off. Another skill that I've developed. Besides breathing. Where can I go with this? Breathe. Sponsorship. It is definitely, it's everybody's right to be a sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous, and it's a privilege to be a sponsor. The 11th step. Brings us that spiritual awakening. It's said that without this step, it's very unlikely that we'd be able to carry a significant message to others to attract them to recovery. When I am working for Narcotics Anonymous in a meeting, I have this uncanny ability to attract people to Narcotics Anonymous. And it's not up to me to choose who I will sponsor and who I will not sponsor. It is a privilege to be a sponsor. And if somebody asks you to sponsor them, as Greg P. said, a fool could have done a better job than what I had done in sponsoring myself. Do I have the right or the privilege to say no? Just for today, I'll do the best of my ability. Will I try to guide you? Maybe to find something better, something to fit you? I know the sponsorship from the newcomer is the responsibility of the group. Some groups I see aren't capable of doing it today. They struggle with just carrying a message because they struggle with traditions. The seventh tradition talks about being fully self-supporting. I believe that's in all of our affairs. If your home group isn't strong enough to carry a significant message of recovery to attract someone and keep them in, you need to take an inventory. And what do we need to do? If you keep seeing people come in and they don't stay, what's broken? Where's the unity? I love the unity in this program. I love that it's a we program. And together, anything is possible. I hope to see a lot of you at the World Convention in Orlando. I am TNR chair for the Michigan Regional Convention, 4th of July weekend. So if anybody decides to go to Michigan on 4th of July, find out what hot is. I'll see you in Kalamazoo. I'm just very grateful to be here. Grateful for everybody else that's here, you know, and showing me something truly wonderful. Narcotics Anonymous. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.